Greetings from Topeka, Kansas, and also greetings from the Trinity Reformed Baptist Church, and from myself, Pastor Bob Spagnuolo, and his beloved wife of 36 years, Sister Dolores Spagnuolo. Special greetings also to Pastor Umbasa and to Pastor Onserio, to Sister Rose, the ladies who assist and supervise there in Kenya over the chicken project. Greetings also to all the beloved orphans who are there, that we have the joy and the honor and the privilege of assisting with food and clothing and shelter. And to all of you ladies there of Kenya, Africa, those of you who are in attendance right now there at the conference, as you hear me speak from my home. Much love and peace and joy in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I count it an honor and a joy and a privilege to have been asked to speak to you ladies who are presently in attendance at this conference meeting there in your beloved homeland of Kenya, Africa. Please turn in your Bibles, if by chance you have a copy of God's Word, or if possible, follow along with someone who may have a copy of God's holy, inspired, and preserved Word, and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 16. The book of Romans, chapter 16. And follow along as I read verses 1 and 2. Here this evening from my home. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 to 2. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome. At this point and at this time in Paul's ministry and in his life, he has not yet set foot in the city of Rome. He has not had the opportunity or the privilege to sit and to minister with these people. So until that time comes, the Apostle Paul writes under the leadership and the inspiration and the guidance and the superintendence of God the Holy Spirit. He writes this letter to this one congregation. And when you come to chapter 16, the Apostle Paul takes time to literally greet by name individuals at this particular church. And as he begins this 16th chapter, he begins by mentioning one woman whose name is Phoebe. Listen carefully as I read. Paul writes, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sincera, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her, and whatsoever business she had need of you. For she had been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Please notice the following things that the Apostle Paul writes about this dear Christian woman who lived sometime during the middle of the first century, some 20 plus centuries ago, over 2,000 years ago, this lady once lived. And we would not have known of her at all if it had not been for God the Holy Spirit, who desired to make us known, or to make her known to you and I. The first thing I would like to point out is that Paul says of her, Phoebe, our sister, and which is a servant of the church. Here the Apostle Paul first publicly recognizes and commends her to this particular church in the city of Rome. She is called first a sister. Thus, she is a saved woman. Phoebe is a woman who has come to Christ not only for the forgiveness of her sins, but she is also a woman who has come to Christ for the salvation of her soul. And when I speak of the salvation of her soul, I am speaking about the deliverance from the power of sin in her life. And the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the only Savior known to men, given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. He is the only individual that can forgive sin. And he is the only individual that when he grants or gives salvation to you or to I, he gives you and I the ability to conquer our sins. Next, the Apostle Paul tells us in this first verse that she is a servant of the church. And the word that is used here, that is translated servant, is a very special word. It is a word that literally means to be a slave. Now, for you ladies that are listening to me, and possibly for you gentlemen that are there at the conference, someone like myself who lives in the Western Hemisphere, North America, Central America, South America, we do not like the word slave. In our own history, slavery has a very negative connotation. This nation of mine went to war one time over the issue of slavery. The United States was one time divided into basically two nations, and thousands upon thousands of men, fathers against son, brother against brother, killed themselves in a brutal civil war over the issue of slavery. People here in the Western world do not view themselves as slaves. People here in the Western world believe that they are independent and that they are basically slaves to no man. But yet they are slaves to sin. They are slaves to the evil one. And they are slaves to their wicked passions. But in the first century, the word slave was a word that was easily understood, because most of the early Christians at this time, the overwhelming majority of Christians, were slaves. These were individuals who worked for a master. Many instances, these masters were very cruel, very evil, and they abused their slaves. Occasionally, there would be a master who would be kind and would be compassionate. And so in the scriptures, slavery was something very, very common in the ancient world. But yet, this is the word that the Apostle Paul uses to describe Phoebe. She is not only a Christian, she is not only an individual who has come to place her faith and trust in Christ. She is not only an individual who has come to Christ for the forgiveness of her sins, but now that faith that she has in Christ has been translated into something that has changed her life. Now she is willing to become the slave of Christ. And by becoming the slave of Christ, she is willing to serve his body, the church of the living God. Ladies who were there at the conference, many people desire to be part of a local church. Even here in the United States, many people attend church. And yet, many of these people do not serve the church. They simply show up and they go through the motions of being a Christian. But in many instances, they're not Christians. They have no time for the church. They're not willing to volunteer and assist and help the church. They're not willing to support the church financially. They're not willing to pray for the church. They're not willing to pray for the leadership of the church, the pastors, the deacons, Sunday school teachers. But they want to be part of the church. Well, according to the Apostle Paul and according to the scriptures, that's not true. If somebody is truly a child of God, if somebody has truly come to Jesus Christ for salvation, if somebody has truly had their sins forgiven, then they do become, they desire to become, they're willing to become, they're obediently, they want to become a servant of his body. And so whether it may be there in Kenya, or whether here in the United States, or whether it be here in Kansas, or in the city of Topeka, many people may desire to be part of a local church, a group of born-again baptized believers. But it's totally a different thing to see oneself as a servant or a slave of Christ's body. Phoebe was more than just someone who came to the church meetings and sat down somewhere. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman who had a living faith. She was a woman that had a genuine faith, an active and alive faith. Turn with me, hold your place there in Romans 16, but turn with me to the book of James towards the back of your New Testament. And once again, if you don't have a Bible, but maybe someone has one close by, you may want to take a little look and just look at James chapter 2. Turn with me to the book of James in the back of your New Testament. James chapter 2. And as you turn there, James here is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He was also the pastor or the elder or the bishop there at the city of Jerusalem. At one time, James did not believe in his half-brother to be the Messiah. James, as well as his other brothers and his other sisters, rejected Jesus' claims as the Savior of the world. But following the bodily resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, apparently the brothers and sisters of Jesus, through Mary and Joseph, did realize, their eyes were opened, that their half-brother was truly the Son of God in flesh. Well, James writes this in James chapter 1. Look at verses 26 and 27. James says, "If any man among you seem to be religious, if someone claims to be a Christian, if someone claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Here James is telling us that if someone goes around claiming to be a Christian, but he has a very foul mouth, he spreads lies and gossip about people that are not true, he goes around destroying the character and the reputation of other people, he is not a Christian. He does not have genuine, active, living faith within his soul. He's not a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is a goat of the evil one. But notice what is said now in verses 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So apparently, according to the Word of God, we demonstrate or we show to the world that we are truly Christians, not simply by what we say with our mouth, but apparently what we do with our hands and with our feet. Notice here that the Apostle James is telling us that one way that we demonstrate that we are the children of God is that we have mercy and compassion and love for those who are fatherless and those who are widows. So the Church of Jesus Christ, more particularly individual Christians, we have a responsibility and a duty to minister to the orphan, to minister to the widows. And may I say this to my beloved friends there in Kenya? We need to be very careful that man-made traditions or tribal traditions or customs that we were brought up with causes us to treat the widows and the orphans in a very, very mean and nasty, unloving manner, because that's just the way we do things here in Kenya. You need to put those things away. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms and changes people's lives. And if there are customs and traditions, whether it be in Kenya or whether it be here in Kansas, that are contrary to the Word of God, then those customs and those traditions need to be put away. And they are to be replaced with biblical customs and biblical traditions. And here in verses 27, we are told that we have a duty and a responsibility to take care of the widow. It is not our responsibility nor our duty to cast the widows aside. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did in the days of Jesus. And Jesus rebuked them harshly and publicly for the way they mistreated the widows and the orphans. We have a duty. You have a duty there in Kenya. You have a responsibility right there, ladies, and you also, gentlemen, who may be listening to me. You have a duty and a responsibility to love one another, to assist one another, and to be a helping hand one to another. Put away those tribal customs that say otherwise. Put away those man-made customs that are contrary to the Word of God. Notice also in verses 27 it says, not only do we have a responsibility to feed and clothe and take care of the widow and the orphan, we have a responsibility to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. What does James mean, ladies and gentlemen, by the word world? Well, he's not talking about the earth. He's not talking about the grasslands. He's not talking about the beautiful animals that you have in that part of the world, or the animals or the trees or the flowers that grow here in Topeka. He's talking about a worldly system that is captivated by Satan, a worldly system that hates God, a worldly system that doesn't love the Word of God, a worldly system that hates the church, a worldly system that hates you if you are a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, we are to be unspotted by that world. We are not to get ourselves spiritually contaminated, spiritually defiled, or spiritually stained by the influence or the allurement or the pull or the power of an evil, fallen world in which you live there in Kenya, in which I myself live here in Topeka, Kansas. So to you, my beloved ladies of Kenya, Africa, I want to commend you to Sister Phoebe. She is a true woman of faith and in the true and living God. I would like now to just give a few words to all of you that may be listening to me right now. I have not had the opportunity or the privilege to see each and every one of you face to face. Many of you may not have even seen my own face. But can I make this appeal to you ladies that are there, and also to the men who may be sitting there? Do you know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have the assurance and the confidence as you listen to my words that if you were to die right now, you have the confidence and the assurance that you would be with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in His heaven? Have you come to a place in your life that you have been confronted by your sin, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been pressed upon your mind and your heart, your will and your affection? Have you come to a place in your life, ladies and gentlemen, there in Kenya, that you have come to see yourself as God sees you, not the way you see yourself, not the way your friends and neighbors might see you, not the way your wife or husband sees you, not the way your children may see you, but the way God sees you? If you are not trusting in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at this present moment, God the Father sees you as a condemned sinner. And if you were to die tonight, you would die in your sins and you would perish for all eternity. I am here to tell you, my dear friends, that the only hope that you have, the only hope that I have, and the only hope that every man, woman, boy, and girl that walks this planet, the only hope for you and I when it comes to salvation, having our sins forgiven, having the power of sin in our lives canceled, and being placed in the loving arms of a forgiving Savior, is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself. I want to make this appeal to you to come to Christ even today, that you would bow your heart and your knee to Him and cry out to Him for His grace and His mercy. Scripture tells us that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. The word repentance has the connotation of not just being sorry for our sins, though that's part of it, but repentance also carries forth the idea, my dear friends, of a turning around, turning in the opposite direction, turning from sin, but turning unto God. As you sit there and as you listen to me, as you're assembled there in this conference right now, there in Kenya, I want to make this public appeal to you that if you are not confident, you have no assurance of your salvation. Maybe you're hearing this gospel message for the very first time. Maybe you were brought by some other lady to come to the conference. If you're hearing my voice right now, and if you were to die without Christ tonight, my dear friend, you would spend all eternity in the lake of fire, and you would perish for all eternity. I beseech you, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come to Christ tonight. Cry out for mercy to Him. Call upon Him to open your eyes and your heart, and have Him fill you with the Holy Spirit, and to grant unto you repentance and faith. Not only that, but to give you the power and the ability to conquer sin in your life. You do not need to be a slave to sin. You do not need to be a slave to the power and the allurement and the temptations of this world. You do not need a witch doctor. You do not need a fortune teller. What you need, my dear friend, is to look to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and cry out to Him for mercy, for compassion. Cry out to Him, fall upon Him, embrace Him, believe in Him, trust in Him, Him and Him alone. Now, if you take your Bibles, let's go back to Romans chapter 16, because the Apostle Paul has a whole lot more to say about this one Christian lady that's found just in these first two verses. Let's look at that verse 1 again. I commend you unto Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe. The word here that is found in the English translation, the word commend, is a word that means to place together. It denotes to introduce one person to another. It represents somebody who is worthy. And so the Apostle Paul felt it very, very needful to let the church here at Rome, the very first person that he mentions in this long list of individuals is this one lady named Phoebe. And he wants to commend her. He wants to lift her up as an example of what a Christian woman is to be. She is someone who is worthy to be given this high honor and recognition. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae. Now look at verses 2. That ye receive her in the Lord. Not only did Paul commend her, but now he calls upon the church at Rome to receive her as becometh saints, and to receive her in the Lord. For those of you that are there in Kenya, Africa, you ladies and you gentlemen that are also sitting there listening, you ladies particularly, if you know right now of a very godly woman who sits among you, then you ought to show that individual worth and respect and honor. And she is to be commended, not only commended, but she is to be received, notice, in the Lord. Not because she's somebody who's special. Not because she is beautiful. Not because she's smart. Not because she has more money. Not because she has a better place to live in. But she is to be received in Christ if she is worthy of that reception. So again, not only did Paul commend her, but now he calls upon the church to receive her as becometh saints. Beloved, Christian women had a place of respect and honor in the early church. If by chance there are some men right now, present in the meeting as I speak, may I say a few words to you about the mothers and the wives and your sisters who currently sit and hear my words, as well as you who hear my words. Gentlemen, put away man-made customs and traditions, which see and treat your women as a piece of property to be used or abused. Gentlemen, I'm speaking to you right now. Your mothers who brought you into this world, your wives who take care of you, who cook your meals, who bear your children, who provide for your children, and who assist you there in the church. Gentlemen, you are to receive those women with honor and respect worthy in the Lord. Come to see your women as a precious treasure given to you by God. Honor and cherish and respect your women as becometh professing men of God. I would like you gentlemen to realize that even in my country, many men treat their women very, very poorly. Some men in my country treat their dogs and their cats better than their mothers, their wives, or their sisters. And gentlemen, that is sin. And so I make this appeal to you gentlemen there in Kenya. If you have a mother who's still alive today, you honor and you respect that woman. If God has given you a loving wife, then you honor and cherish and you respect her and you receive her into your heart as becometh of the Lord. Now, not only was Phoebe being commended and asked to be received, she was next to be assisted or helped or given aid in the business she had need of. Look at verse 2. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. Once again, my dear ladies of Kenya, and you dear gentlemen as well, once again we see that Christian women not only had a place of honor and respect in the early church, but they were given some extreme liberties to assist in the work of God. So now can I make this appeal to all of you who hear me here, to all of you ladies there in Kenya, help one another, assist one another, pray for one another, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Lord. As well, to you Kenyan gentlemen, help and assist the women who labor there among you in your own churches and in your own gatherings and in your own fellowships. Lastly, Paul tells us a bit more about this godly woman. She herself hath been a succorer of many, and even to the great Apostle Paul himself. Notice once again verse 2. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of. For she has been a succorer or a helper of many, and of myself also. Beloved, do you hear those words? The great Apostle Paul, who had the privilege and the honor of seeing the risen Christ on the day of his salvation back in Acts chapter 9. The great Apostle Paul, who did 3 missionary journeys across the Mediterranean world. The great Apostle Paul, who established churches across that part of the known world at that time. The great Apostle Paul, who wrote over 1/2 of the entire New Testament with his own hand under God's divine inspiration and guidance. He was beholden to a woman. He needed the help and the assistance of this dear Christian woman whom he introduces to us right now, Phoebe, the sister and servant of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May I also offer this to you, my dear ladies and gentlemen there in Kenya. Jesus also had a band of holy women who ministered to his needs as well. Ladies, can I give you something else? When the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead, the very first individuals that he reveals himself in his bodily resurrected body was none other than women. Read the gospel accounts. Read the visitations. The very first individuals who saw the risen Christ were not the apostles. They were hiding in some upper room, fearful. It was women. And in that day, a woman's word was not allowed to be brought into the evidence of a courtroom, because by tradition they believed that a woman's word could not be trusted. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ makes his first appearance to women, and it was to women that they were to go back to the men and tell them that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. So my dear ladies there in Kenya, you are special in the eyes of Christ. You have a special place in the churches and in the fellowships and in the gatherings where you minister. You women who oversee the chicken project, you are bringing not only food and income into your families, it is through your hands and your diligence and your hard-working efforts under that hot blazing sun that shines over your head there in Africa. It is through your labors, it is through your prayers, it is through your sweat, it is through your tears that you uphold your families, your villages, your cities, your churches, your fellowships, and your gatherings. You women have an important place, not only in the family of God, but in the families in which you live and move and have your very beings. And so as I close out this particular message to you ladies that are there, I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. I want to uphold you. I want to admonish you. I want to encourage you. I want to give you comfort. I want to give you the provoking unto love and to good works. I want to tell you that your efforts and your labors, your prayers and your tears for your husbands and your children and for your other family members and friends within your villages and in your communities, they have worth and they have value. At this time, I would like to close out my message by singing a song that I sang to my own church just a few days ago. This particular song was very special to me when I was in the United States Air Force in the country of South Korea in the year 1974 to 1975. The Lord was pleased to give us an American couple who were also in the military but had now retired. They had a Christian servicemen center where Christian men and women could go not only for worship but for fellowship and to get away from the evil worldly corruption that was even found in that part of the world. And there was a very precious song that we sang during that year quite often. And it was a song that we basically commended to ourselves to help us during those 12 months being away from home, being in a foreign country, being in a particular part of the world where it meant possibly going to war and possibly dying for our nation. So I would like to end my message, these few words to you ladies as well as to the gentlemen, with this hymn. The hymn is called Follow Me by Ira Stanfill. I travel down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had caused me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly. My feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hand safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twill be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love had more to man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Well, let us close in the word of prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, we come before your divine presence to thank you and to praise you for the opportunity of being alive this very day. We also want to thank you for giving us the technology and the means by which we are able even to communicate to other people instantly around the world. We thank you for the chat room that we have with Pastor Onsario and his beloved father, Pastor Umbasa, and also with Sister Rose over the past couple of weeks. We thank you for the opportunity that we can simply type out a few sentences and within seconds be able to talk and to communicate one with another. Father, we thank you for, in your own divine providence, leading Pastor Umbasa to our congregation halfway around the globe and entering into fellowship and partnership with him, his son, the other men who work under him, Sister Rose, the ladies there that do the chicken project, and then eventually being introduced to the very loving, beautiful-looking orphan children that we have the privilege and the opportunity of supporting. Father, I pray for your saints there in Africa. They live in a part of the world that is very, very wicked, with much killing, political corruption, Islamic terrorism. Father, we simply pray for Pastor Umbasa, his son, and those men who are spiritual leaders amongst those people, that you would please have your hand of protection upon them as they travel about that part of the world to bring your word to men and women, boys and girls. Father, we pray that if it be your will, that you would restore a very decent, upright, and godly form of leadership there in Kenya. We would also pray, Father, that in your good time, that you would simply remove the violence and the killing and the bloodshed and the illnesses and the certain diseases that take so many lives. And Father, we thank you that our little congregation has had the opportunity and the privilege now for a number of years of ministering and praying and supporting these beloved people there in Kenya, Africa. Father, we pray for the orphans. We pray that in your good time, each and every one of them will come to know the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as their own personal Savior, and that they would not grow up with bitterness and hatred, but that they would grow up with the love of God in their souls and in their hearts. And they too would be willing to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring it to their own people in that part of the world. Father, we pray for all of the ladies who are there right now. I pray for those who are not saved, that maybe through these feeble lips and these feeble words, that you would reach into their souls and open their eyes and hearts to their need of Christ, and that you would save them. For those ladies that are there right now who are saved and who live under very trying conditions and times, Father, I pray that you would uphold them. Make them to be like a Phoebe. Cause them to be servants to your church. Cause them to take their hands, their mind, their hearts, and their feet. Take every part of their being and turn it over to you as a vessel of honor to be used. And may each of the ladies that are there right now who hear my voice in this prayer become like a Phoebe, to become a woman of faith that other women could look up to and to honor and to cherish and to respect. We also pray for the men that are there, that they too may see their wives, their mothers, and their sisters as someone to be cherished and honored and given biblical respect as the Bible dictates. And that, Father, each and every one of them would love each other, minister and serve one another, and Father, that you would give them great grace to do your work there in that part of the world. We simply ask all these things. We commend all of these things in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, my dear friends there in Kenya, Africa, to our dear beloved Pastor Umbasa, to our dear beloved Pastor Onserio and his wife Rose, to all of you ladies who work there in the Chicken Project, to all of you beautiful looking orphans, and to all of you ladies who are there right now, we want to send from the Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, our warmest greetings, our most cherished hugs, and our most fervent prayers for each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. And may He prosper everything that you do for His glory and for your good. In Jesus' name, amen.